And then he named her Delilah. He named her that awful name, too. I knew it because he saw the resemblance. I have to protect her. I cannot see another child suffer. I cannot take this life anymore. There is so much pain.
I pulled Phoebe into my chest and held her while she cried. Truth be told, the embrace kept me from screaming out in rage. My brother. My motherfucking brother. He did all this. Everything had gone wrong. There will always be another one, I said. May, Lila, Maddie, Harmony, now this little Delilah too. Even if we save all the cursed in existence, he will always find another, brand another. He will always strive to keep this bullshit prophecy alive. Phoebe nodded.
I think that too. He will never stop hurting these children, all because he finds it too hard to resist their beauty. He wants to own them, possess them, control them, like he does us all.
Phoebe stepped back and gripped the lapels of my leather jacket.
You need to get her out for me. Just get her out.
Where are Stephen, Ruth, Solomon, and Samson now? I asked, checking my watch. Fuck. The hangman would be coming in less than 2 hours. What the hell did I do now? Phoebe watched me closely.
They are coming, aren't they? The devil's men?
I nodded. I need to get the innocent out, Phoebe. The plan has gone to shit. I don't know what to do.
Judah has them in the public cells,
Phoebe interrupted.
So all the people can see who is responsible for thrusting us into chaos, so they can see the souls that the devil polluted. They are in the cells that face the Great Plain.
The Great Plain. The area where Judah held his sermons. Fuck, I spat. That land held no cover. It was exposed. Phoebe reached for my arm.
No one is gathered there at present. The congregation are loading guns into vehicles and are preparing everything for the attack on the farther side of the commune.
I felt a flicker of hope. Stay away, do you hear me? Wait here. Don't come to the plain. The hangmen will be coming through this way. They will be coming for the guards in Judah. Take off your headdress and show them who you are. Kai, Lila's husband, is coming. He knows who you are, what you look like. They will protect you. Phoebe's eyes closed with relief.
Thank you,
she whispered. I moved to walk away. Phoebe began talking to the child, soothing her. I turned around. Phoebe? Phoebe looked at me. Leave her in there and tell her to be quiet. No matter what, tell her to be silent. If something happens... I let that hang in the air.
To me?
She finished. I will return for her, or Sister Ruth will. I'll make sure she is freed, somehow. I promise. Phoebe nodded, and as she glanced down at the little girl in the cell, I saw the love she had for her, the affection. I also knew she was trying to save her in place of Lila. She was saving this child, almost the mirror image of the one she, in her eyes, had failed. What's her name? I found myself asking. A smile stretched on Phoebe's face.
Grace,
Phoebe said, reverence in her tone.
Her name is Grace.
I'll be back for you and Grace. But try to get to Kai first. If we're lucky, you'll be back with your sister by tonight. As will Grace. With that, I raced up the hill, staying tucked into the line of trees. When the Great Plain came into sight, I saw that Phoebe had been right. It was deserted. The public cells were on the far side. Checking no one was around, I darted over the manicured grass. I didn't have time to circle the perimeter first. Too much time had already been wasted. I ran as fast as I could, my chest blowing out as I pushed myself to the limit until I arrived at the cells. My stomach fell when I saw my friend sitting inside.
Cain.
Sister Ruth's head rolled to face in my direction. She was badly beaten and was struggling to move. Something about seeing this sweet woman in this much pain tore a fucking lethal amount of rage from me. Ruth, I whispered back. Sister Ruth tried to smile, but her lips were too broken. Solomon shuffled painfully to the steel bars. He was black and blue.
We failed, Cain. Samson and I managed to cut the fence while the ceremony was happening, but this morning, Judah's guards came for you and caught us. We had no choice but to own up. I showed them the hole in the fence you used yesterday, but kept the one you used today a secret.
He dropped his head.
I am so sorry. I failed you. I came here for one reason, and I failed.
No, I argued. You didn't. I got out. Bella is safe, and the hangmen are coming. I'm just so fucking sorry y'all got hurt.
You got her out. That is all that matters, Stephen said, and gave a deep sigh of relief. I nodded my head. But we need to get you out. I need help getting the innocent out. We'll need to stage a distraction or something, smoke out the guards. When the hangmen come in, they're coming to kill. Sister Ruth's face paled. I searched around the cell for a key, for something to help me break the lock. I need a key, I said hurriedly. In the guards' house, Solomon said, and pointed to a small hut hidden in the trees. I'll be back. I stood to move toward the hut, and I knew I'd fucked up. I felt the cold steel of a gun barrel press against my temple. Whoever held the gun to my head moved in front of me. Brother Luke. Fucking Brother Luke. I bared my teeth as I stared the fucker down. Then I felt another gun press into my back, and another press into my ribs. Looks like you are surrounded, Brother Luke said. He tensed and I knew who was coming. Not giving a shit about the guns, I turned. Judah was pounding toward us, vicious eyes zeroed on me. I thought I had seen my brother pissed before, but I realized that he could actually go up another gear, or two. I had never seen Judah this angry. Judah walked straight up to me and slammed his fist across my face. My head tipped back a fraction, but Judah was shit in a fight. There was no strength behind the punch. You are a traitor! He ran his gaze over my leathers. Here you are. Once again dressed in the devil's men's attire. He stepped closer. You took our only chance at salvation from me. You are as much a devil's whore as she is, as all of them. I couldn't help it. I laughed. I laughed right in Judah's red face. But I quickly dropped my humor and spat. It's all fucking false. All of it was created so our uncle could fuck kids, brother. There was no pilgrimage to Israel. There was no revelation given within the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. There is no order, no quest for salvation. In fact, I'm pretty fucking sure that with everything we've done, we've all got a fucking one-way ticket to hell. Judah's eyes widened. You lie, he snarled, spitting as his frustration poured from his tense lips. You carry the serpent's tongue. You are weak and have been possessed. Wake up, I roared. Judah stepped back. Wake the fuck up. You ain't no prophet. And we know you haven't received one damn revelation from God, you lying sack of shit. Judah's face paled, and I felt the guards tense around me. They stared at Judah with worried frowns. You're a joke, brother, I went on. We all are, and we all deserve to rot in hell for eternity for what we've done. We deserve to die for dragging innocent people down with us. I sucked in a sharp breath. They are coming, Judah. The hangmen will be here in less than 2 hours, and they will kill us all of us that run this sick fucking place of hell. We need to get the innocent out now. If there's one thing we can do to try and rectify what we've done, it's spare the innocent lives and finally set them free. They don't deserve this. By meeting the hangmen in a war, you're only sealing their fates. They'll die. They will all be slaughtered like pigs. Judah practically shook with anger, but I could see his brain was working overtime. I just wasn't sure what the fuck he was thinking. Judah stepped back, then back again, and said, You are right about one thing, and so wrong about another. A strange calmness suddenly came over my twin. That scared me more than his anger. Judah was never calm. He was reactive, explosive. This wasn't fucking right. The way he was acting wasn't fucking right. Judah, I said coldly, but Brother Luke and the other guards moved their guns closer to my body. Judah held up his hands. His eyes crazed. You are wrong. I am the prophet. I feel it in my veins. I can feel God within me. I am the truth, the way, and the light, the Messiah of this time. I closed my eyes in exasperation, because I knew Judah truly believed that. He was too far gone. His delusion was too strong to make him see sense. But you were also so right. My eyes snapped open at his dark tone. Judah clicked his fingers at his guards and pointed to the cell. No, I shouted, trying to fight off the guards. But the blunt end of a gun slammed into my temple, causing me to see stars. Another swiped me across the face, and one in the ribs. I swung out my arms, trying to fight free, but before I knew it, the cell door was opened and I was pushed inside. I scrambled on my knees and slammed my shoulder into the steel bars. They didn't budge. Judah! I screamed,
but my brother just stood there, watching me with a haunting, calm stare. Judah! He stepped forward and met my eyes. You were right about our people's fates being sealed, brother. God told me many weeks ago what to do if the devil's men prevailed. I always had another plan. God spoke to me, and I did as he told me. I prepared us well just in case. The Lord will never let me, his shining light, ever fail. And now the moment has arrived. I froze, energy draining from me as he began to walk away. What do you mean by that? What have you got prepared? I asked to his retreating back, panic lacing my words. His guards followed. Judah! What do you fucking mean by that? But Judah and the guards simply walked away. I sat back on the hard floor looking at my friends. What is he doing? What the fuck is he doing? The hangman will be here soon. They'll open fire. They'll kill everyone. My friends said nothing. They were as clueless as I. But as minutes passed in silence, I could feel a shift in the air. An ominous feeling built and built in my stomach until it became a tidal wave of dread. I couldn't get Judah's two calm eyes from my head. I had never seen that from him before. Something had snapped in him. He was going to do something terrible. I just knew it. The crackling sounds of the speakers coming to life echoed around the empty plain. Judah's voice came powering through, and my heart dropped to the floor. People of the Order, drop what you are doing and gather in the Great Plain. Move quickly. Gather all the children. Send word to your friends. I repeat, all are to gather in the Great Plain. I have received a new revelation from the Lord, and we must hurry. Our very salvation depends on it. Tinny prayer music began drifting from the speakers. In seconds, people began filtering into the grassy field. They were on the other side of the land from us. I tried to shout to get their attention, but my voice could not be heard over the music. My hand gripped onto the bars as I watched the guards and the elders of the commune approach the plain, dragging carts in their wake. My eyes narrowed. The carts were loaded with large barrels. Stephen, Ruth, Solomon, and Samson joined me at the gates. What the hell are they? I asked, as more carts were wheeled in. More barrels, then boxes of something that I couldn't see.
I have no idea, Stephen said. They look like barrels of wine.
He is holding a communion? Samson asked. He is breaking bread and wine? I shook my head. I had no idea why he would hold a communion with the hangman attack so close. Dozens upon dozens of people began to fill the vast space. The guards swarmed around them like vultures, shouting at them to sit down. Children began crying, fear, like a perfect storm, swept among the masses. The guards aimed their guns at the people who showed too much panic or questioned what was happening. I didn't know how much time passed. It felt like only minutes before the entire commune was sitting on the grass before us. The heat was stifling. Babies cried and children wailed. The adults were praying in earnest, rocking back and forth as the guards, dressed all in black, fired warning shots into the air. The fear was palpable, and all I could do was sit and watch. Judah walked to the platform that was permanently in the field. He held a microphone in his hand. As before, a creepy stillness fell over him. Then he began to preach. "People of the Order," Judah began. He held a hand up in the air, and like they always did, the people fell silent. It was eerie to watch as they all stared at him, hanging on his every word. Their gazes were fixed upon him, and I saw it. I saw in full technicolor the absolute power he had over them that I had never owned. His tone of voice was magnetizing, and the way his eyes ran over each and every row of believers seemed to connect with them all on a personal level. Up on that stage, he was their Messiah. They will do anything he wants them to, I whispered. I watched my twin step to the side of the stage, hundreds of eager eyes following his every movement.
The Lord had, many weeks ago, revealed to us that we were to take on the devil's men in a holy war. It was a task we have prepared for weeks.
He paused, then said,
But today I received a new message, an important one, one that will save all our souls without facing down the demons.
My eyes narrowed as he dropped his head. When he raised it again, he motioned to the guards and elders. My stomach dropped when I saw them remove the tops of the barrels and open the sealed boxes.
Can you see what is in them? Stephen asked.
I craned my neck to see. Syringes, I said in confusion. I looked to Ruth and Stephen. Why would they have syringes and wine? No one spoke, so we kept watching. We watched as the most dedicated women and men were gathered and sent to the carts. They began to fill the syringes with the deep red wine that was in the barrels. The men and women gathered the syringes in baskets and began handing them out to the adults sitting on the grass. The children watched on in curiosity, reaching for the syringes. Judah watched with a proud smile on his face. But I didn't like the look of that smile. Nothing about this was reassuring. I was so fucking lost. What's so important about those damn syringes? I hissed. Panic took hold of me as the guards and elders formed a barrier around the people. They made a fucking wall. My knuckles turned white as I gripped the steel bars of the door. Judah took the mic again. The Lord singled each and every one of you, us, out. Only you, the truly blessed, chose the right path in this world filled with evil and sin. The Lord has seen how we have obeyed him these past few weeks, and he is proud. Judah's face took on a concerned expression. But we have also battled the devil in the process. A mighty adversary, some of our most faithful members were corrupted and pulled under Satan's control. And the prophecy ensuring our salvation was thwarted by a demon in disguise, a person I trusted with my life. My stomach fell. He was talking about me. But then God spoke to me again. Judah smiled, and the people smiled back. God, in all his infinite wisdom and benevolence, saw how devoted we were to his cause, to his name, so much so that we were willing to walk through the gates of hell and sacrifice our souls for his glory, so that we could proudly reside with him in heaven, content in the knowledge that we served him to the utmost in this life. Judah walked back to center stage. People of the order, the Lord called to me on this very day. He called to me as we prepared for battle. We believe that we were taking the fight to the devil's door, but the truth is, they are coming for us. In fact, they are on their way. The crowd burst into a terror-filled frenzy. People jumped to their feet, trying to break through the wall of guards, but the guards pushed them back, hitting them with the butts of their guns to settle them down. Brother Michael and Brother James fired shot after shot into the air. The people dropped to the ground. I studied Judah. My skin crawled. Judah watched from the stage with a potent hunger in his eyes. He was relishing the chaos. In this moment, he was a lord over the innocent. He glanced to the side and held out his hand. Sarai, his consort, walked onto the stage and took his outstretched hand. I could see that Judah loved her, in his own way. And she loved him. But it was a love that was anything but great. It was a love born of cruelty and obsession. An evil soul bound to an evil soul. Sarai nodded her head as he whispered something into her ear. She kissed him on his lips and gave him her most encouraging smile. He faced the crowd again. The people were all completely silent now, all waiting for the next words from their prophet. Today we shall beat the devil at his own game. We know that the devil challenges the faithful by luring their souls in this life, by tempting them with vices and greed, by threatening death. But we, the truly faithful, do not fear death. How could we, when we know what our pure souls will meet? Paradise. God calls on us, his chosen people, to welcome death. He calls on us to thwart the devil's plans. I sat, breath held, as he shared the rest of his revelation. Satan sends his men for us now. They come to wreak havoc and spread nothing but sin and pain. So we are to confront Satan with the greatest rebellion of all. The people watched Judah with wide, trusting eyes as he announced, "We shall place our lives into his hands. We will submit to his will. People of the order, when the devil's men arrive, we shall no longer be here in spirit. They shall mourn the loss of our captured souls when they see our lifeless bodies lying prone on this sacred ground. But we will be rejoicing with our Lord in Zion. We shall overcome their wickedness. People, be joyous for this day, for we shall soon be dining at our Lord's table." Most of the people erupted into the throes of manic happiness, holding their hands in the air and worshiping my brother and their Lord. Others sat motionless, terrified, trapped by the guards. "No," I shouted when I realized what was about to happen. I gripped the bars harder. The syringes, they're not wine. They're poison. Fuck. He's going to kill them. He's going to kill them all. No, Ruth cried beside me, shock coating the word. Judah, I screamed, panic and disgust surging through me, but the music drowned me out. Those who are beside a child, you have been given two syringes. One is for you, the other is for them. Like the holy caretakers that we are, that we pride ourselves to be, we will send the innocent souls of the children to God first. Judah smiled a kind, loving smile. He will cherish them in his warmth until we arrive soon after.
Oh, no, Sister Ruth cried. The children. He's going to kill the children, too.
Sickness worked its way up my throat. I screamed and I screamed as I saw Judah signal to the crowd to proceed. The women and men who were sitting beside children turned to face them. Scalding tears filled my eyes as the young children looked at the adults with such trust. Such fucking trust that they would let them do anything. My hands bled as I pulled on the bars, my skin breaking apart. My shoulders screamed out in protest as I tried to wrench the door off its hinges, but it wouldn't fucking move. I heard Solomon and Samson roaring in rage beside me, screaming at the elders to stop. Stephen was white-faced with horror. Ruth cried, slumping to her knees when no one heard our calls. But I couldn't stop. Even though it was useless, I couldn't fucking stop. Judah! I roared, but my voice was lost under the noise. Judah! I screamed again and again and again. Then I saw the adults start to push the syringes into the children's mouths, encouraging them to swallow the fluid down their throats. I froze, stock still, as the adults took their turn. I fucking saw red, my stomach twisted with bile and vomit. Whatever was in the syringes didn't kill the children quickly. They began to scream in agony, their tiny bodies writhing on the ground. Froth and blood poured from their mouths as they fought to breathe, scraping at their throats, their hands reaching out desperately for help. But nobody was there to save them. Nobody was fucking there to ease their pain. No one ever cared for the children here in this hell. They were always alone, even in fucking death. Judah ensured they were alone and in pain. The adults' dose of poison began dragging them under too. One by one they went down, thrashing on the floor in torture. In the panic, some of the people tried to get up and run, throwing their syringes to the ground, and I watched helpless. As the guards forced them back to the ground and pinned them down, pouring the poison into their mouths. They were murdering them. Fucking murdering them. A group of people broke free from Brother Luke's section, scrambling for the trees. He lifted his gun and sent a spray of bullets into the backs of their heads. Ruth screamed out beside me as the victims crumpled to the floor. The elders were next, their bodies dropping down to the floor from their human wall as they willingly drank the fluid from the syringes. Screams of torment cut through the music, a cacophony of agonized death cries. Guards rushed around the mass of bodies, ensuring all the doses of poison had been taken. Like a rolling wave, the thrashing of the children's bodies began to slow, until they grew silent and still. The adults were next. Then the elders followed suit. It was like a horror movie. People rushing everywhere, chaos and hysteria blurring the scene. Then suddenly I saw a flash of red hair at the cell door. Phoebe, I said frantically, open the door. Phoebe held the key in her hand. Her hands trembled with fear, and tears clouded her eyes as she fought to get the key into the lock. My heart was a cannon in my chest as I tried to see through the madness beyond, as I tried to detect Judah through the chaos. The lock snapped open. I pushed the door open, just as the sound of heavy gunfire came from the far-off trees. The hangman, I shouted. I charged out of the door and looked over the plain. The guards had turned away from the dying masses and were running, guns held high at the hangmen. I saw a few fleeing, running from the fray. Fucking cowards. I looked back toward the sound of bullets and could see men in black moving from the trees. Even though there were only 11 of them, they somehow looked like a fucking army. They hit with perfect precision. The guards began dropping to the ground, bullets slicing through their heads and hearts. Phoebe backed away into the trees. I met her terrified eyes.
Grace! I need to get to Grace!
Phoebe ran back toward the cell block. In the distance to the side of the stage, I saw my brother. My body vibrated with rage, and I began to charge. I ran, I ran and I fucking ran, but as I approached the mass of bodies massacred on the ground, my feet faltered. My hands lifted to my head as I looked down at the lifeless faces staring back up at me. Indescribable pain rocked through me. I forced myself to keep upright. The bodies stretched and stretched for yards and yards as far as the eye could see. And each time I saw a small child's frightened face, mouth open and eyes forever frozen with a look of fear. A pained roar ripped from my throat. I made myself turn my face away. Move away from the dead. I searched the plane. Judah was still crouching low by the platform like a fucking rat. I didn't even look toward the hangman. The red mist in my eyes and the rage burning in my heart had one target. The fucking murdering bastard that shared my face. My breath echoed in my ears as I pushed my legs to run as fast as they would go. Seeing a dead guard on the ground, I picked up the gun hanging limply in his hand and took the knife from his belt. Suddenly, I heard a female scream behind me. I whipped around, fearing it was Sister Ruth. But I smiled a fucking bloodthirsty smile when I saw Kai with his hand around Sarai's throat. The brother lifted her off the floor as she clawed at his arms. He plunged his knife directly through the top of her skull and dropped her to the ground. Kai stood beside her dead body and spat at the corpse. I saw the hangmen slaying the guards, massacring the pricks. Then I turned my head. A flash of white scurried from the side of the stage and made for the safety of the trees. But my determined legs propelled me forward. They didn't stop until I halted at the end of the platform, where my twin froze and met my eyes. His nostrils flared as I glared at him, my gun held out, fixed on his heart. And even now, in amongst all this fucking death and destruction, he didn't look sorry. The fucker was proud. Always filled with so much fucking pride. I never knew it was possible to harbor such simultaneous, intense hate and love for a person before that moment. The hate, I understood. But the love, it fucking incensed me. I wanted to rip my traitorous heart from my chest and throw it onto the dead bodies stacked up around us. Brother, Judah's voice ripped me from my inner fury, and our identical gazes clashed. I realized the entire commune was silent. Not even a fucking bird sang in the distance. The heavy curtain of death, such senseless fucking death chasing all life away from its polluted air. It was why I still stood, still stared down my twin. Because I too felt dead. Fucking dead inside. Only rage was keeping me standing. Rage, and the knowledge that in a matter of minutes I would throw Judah's lifeless body to the ground so he could join his sadistic little whore in hell. Brother, Judah said again, and held up his hands. Don't, I roared. Don't you fucking dare call me that. Judah glanced around him, roving his eyes over the bodies. It had to be done, brother. I could not let us be taken down by the sinners. I always knew this may be our path. I had to be prepared. Our people, they understood. They wanted this too. He spoke with such a calmness, such a detachment from the fucking mass murder he'd just ordered, that shards of ice darted down my spine. The devil will never triumph over us. He smiled and closed his eyes. Tonight our people will dine with the Lord at his table. They will join our uncle, our founder, by the celestial river of eternal life. You're fucking crazy, I whispered, as I watched him bask in his glory, his slain victims just a step away from our feet. Judah opened his eyes and looked directly at me. No, brother. I have always been strong in my faith. It was always you who could not control your sinful actions and thoughts. It was you who could not just adhere to the teachings and follow the scriptures and creeds. You had it all, salvation at your fingertips, yet you threw it all away. They were false. Everything is false, I said through gritted teeth. I pointed to the tiny foot of a child directly to my left. You took lives for fucking lies. You could have saved them. You could have let them go. No. He shook his head. They had to die. They had to sacrifice their lives for the good of their souls. And that was the moment I knew for sure. I had to kill him myself. He had to be taken by my hands, like a rabid dog. He had to be put down. Without taking my eyes off my brother, I threw the gun and knife to the ground. Judah's eyes narrowed on mine, then I walked toward him. I knew he saw the intent in my gaze when he lifted up his hands and backed away. Brother? he said cautiously as I approached. You cannot do this. You have tried in the past, and you could not go through with it, remember? I am your twin. I am your only blood. You will not take my life. We need each other. We always have. I let his words wash over me and drift away into the silent sky. I balled my hand into a fist and swung. As my hand connected with his face, I made myself feel nothing. Judah, unused to any form of violence, immediately fell to the floor. I jumped down on top of him and sent fist after fist into his face, letting his warm blood spatter on my skin. I hit him and hit him until his face looked nothing like my own, bloodied, nose broken, lips split. I hit him until I gasped for breath, my body aching with exertion. I sat back and ran my bloodied hand through my hair. But when I looked down, Judah's eyes were still on me, blinking as he struggled to see through the blood. I bent down to place my mouth at his ear. You need to die, brother. As I spoke those words, feeling Judah's breath pass by my cheek and his pounding heart echo against my chest, the numbness that I had embraced fell away, exposing me to nothing but raw pain. All the fucking excruciating pain of this fucked up moment. He was alive. Judah still had life. We had come into this world together. We had been through everything together. He had been my only source of comfort, my only family. Yet I knew he had to die right here, right now. But I couldn't. I couldn't. The feel of Judah's hand on the back of my head was almost my undoing, because it wasn't hard or rough. It was gentle and soft. It was the touch of my twin who loved me. Judah sucked in a long breath, his chest rattling from the beating I had given him. I held still. Judah's head turned, and his mouth landed at my ear. Cain, he rasped out, breaking my heart in two at the affection in his tone. I love you. I squeezed my eyes shut and choked on a strangled cry. My brother, my heart. His fingers tightened in my hair. Boiling tears sailed down my cheeks, but I let them fall. I let my chest be torn apart by the immeasurable amount of grief in my soul. I kept my head down, unable to, but knowing that I had to do this. No one would be safe if he was left alive. Just as I began to draw back my head, Judah said, "Evil begets evil, Cain. Whatever sin blackens, my soul lives in you too. We are the same, made the same, born the same." I froze. My lips parted as I struggled to draw in air. Evil begets evil. Evil begets evil. I couldn't stop Judah's words from circling my head, each replay hitting me like a spray of bullets. Because he was right. But I would never have done something like this, I whispered. I lifted my head, looking him dead in the eyes. I would never have done something like this, something this fucked up. You murdered them, all of them. Judah smiled. You would? You have, Judah replied, and my face drained of blood. This, he croaked, was all done in your name. Judah smiled wider, and I saw that look of triumph flare in his bloodshot eyes. They died with your name on their lips, Prophet Cain. I shook my head, over and over again. No, I growled. No! I roared as Judah smiled a bloody smile. We did this. We did it all. Together. As his gruff voice sailed into my ears, I embraced the darkness that was hovering on the edge of my heart, and I let it consume me. I let the black tar of rage swallow any light left in my soul. With a deafening roar, I lunged forward and wrapped my hands around Judah's throat. Judah's eyes widened in shock, and then I saw it. I saw the doubt in his gaze that I would see this through. I could almost hear his voice in my head as I tightened my grip. You've tried this before, brother. You could not do it then, and you will not do it now. You will not be able to look into my eyes and watch the life drain from their depths. I am your brother. I am your twin. No! I screamed, answering the imaginary voice in my head. I have to. I spat to Judah's reddening face. I have to. You have to pay. You have to atone. Judah began to struggle as my fingers got tighter and tighter around his throat, cutting off his breath. His panicked legs thrashed beneath me. His desperate fingers clawed at my arms. But all the time I kept my eyes locked on his, I never moved them once as his skin began to mottle and the capillaries in his eyes began to burst. I squeezed harder, until my fingers ached with the effort. Judah's legs began to slow. His hands fell away from my arms. Tears built in my twin's eyes and fell down his cheeks. Mine did the same, twin tears pooling together on the desecrated plain. Then, just as his body drained of its fight, Judah opened his lips and mouthed, "Cain, Cain." My teeth gritted together as the name left his lips. My true name. The name I heard him speak so many times with love and affection. The name I had heard him utter in the throes of childhood laughter, in the hard times and the good. Then he stopped moving at all, and I watched. I stared into his eyes as the life drained from his body, his brown gaze frosting over with the fresh veil of death, and I couldn't look away. I couldn't move my hands, nor stop the flood of tears as my brother and best friend stared up at me from a now soulless body. Even though the night was humid and hot, cold ran over my skin. My hands had frozen on his neck. I couldn't move. My arms began to shake. The trembling shivers reached my locked fingers, and they fell from Judah's neck. The red prints of my hands were splayed like burn marks on his skin. I closed my eyes, but all I saw was Judah's dimming face mouthing, "Cain, Cain." He had pleaded me to spare him, but I couldn't. I fucking couldn't. I opened my eyes and forced myself to move off his corpse. But when I turned and was met with hundreds and hundreds of dead, poisoned followers, my head shook. My hands raked through my hair, and I looked in every direction searching for some kind of peace. None was found. Tears blurred my sight, but I could see the hangmen all watching me. I choked out a cry at so much death, the sight of endless, senseless murders, too much to take, to comprehend. My legs gave out and I fell to the floor right beside Judah. My face contorted with the pain ripping me apart from inside. But the darkness in my heart remained. It fucking ran like rapids through every vein, blotting out any light and good with its shade. I tipped back my head and roared. I screamed and screamed until the sound of my pain was the only noise to be heard. When I had nothing left to give, I fell forward onto my hands, gasping for breath. I sucked in long, desperate inhales. But nothing took this ache away. This fucking racking ache in my heart. Suddenly a hand landed at my back. I flinched and sat up, ready to fucking fight whoever came at me next. But when I looked up, Smiler was standing before me. He stared down with an unreadable expression on his face, then held out his hand. I looked at it, not knowing what the fuck to do. Smiler swallowed.
"Take it."
So I did. I held out my shaking hand and took my former best friend's help. Smiler pulled me off the ground. I didn't look back at Judah. I couldn't look back. My gaze tracked around the gathered hangmen. They had all survived. And they all stared at me in disbelief.
"Ryder, what the fuck?"
Smiler said hoarsely, pointing at the masses of dead. He got out of the cell. He killed them. He made them take their own lives. I trailed off. I couldn't fucking stop it. I couldn't save them, the children. None of them. My gaze landed on Kai, and Phoebe's face suddenly came to my mind. "Phoebe," I said under my breath, and ran around the perimeter of bodies until I hit the line of trees. I ran, hearing the sound of the hangmen giving chase. I slapped branches from my path as I tore through the woods toward the cell block. I burst through the bushes at the back of the block, and I breathed my first bit of air. Stephen and Ruth were standing near the small outdoor cell. They quickly hid something behind them with their bodies. When Ruth's swollen, bruised eyes landed on me, her hand flew to her mouth and she cried out. She turned her face into Brother Stephen's chest and sobbed. I stood frozen, not knowing what the fuck to do. I heard the brothers push through from the woods behind me. Stephen and Ruth's expressions became racked with fear. The sound of safeties being clicked off made me whip around. Kai, Flame, and Styx had their semi-automatics raised at my friends. I held up my hand.
"No,"
I managed to say with the leftovers of my raw, croaky voice.
"These are the defectors who helped me get Bella free. They are innocent."
Styx's eyes narrowed on Stephen. Turning to Stephen, I said,
"This man is with May."
I pointed to Flame.
"Flame is married to Maddie."
Brother Stephen's assessing gaze roved over the Prez and Flame.
"Thank you,"
Stephen said to the two brothers, and me.
Thank you for saving them when I could not. I can never repay you for what you have done for my girls.
Rustling came from the trees. The hangmen all snapped into action and raised their guns ready. Solomon and Samson ran through, staggering in shock, when 11 sets of guns were aimed at their heads. The two built brothers stopped dead and held up their hands. "This is Solomon and Samson," I said quickly. "They helped us too."
"These roided up fuckers helped?"
Bull asked. I nodded. Styx lowered his hand, motioning for the brothers to lower their guns.
"We need to get the fuck gone," Kai said.
AK stepped forward.
"Where's the redhead? She was involved in this too, weren't she?"
My head whipped around the cell block.
"He took her,"
Solomon said.
"That Meister fucker took her. We gave chase, but he had a vehicle waiting for them on the side of the road. We could not follow on foot."
Tanner looked at Tank.
"That ain't good for her," he said.
And Tank tipped back his head in frustration. "She got us out," I said, feeling nothing but guilt. "She sacrificed herself to get us out. She asked us to help her with one thing, and we fucking failed." Silence thickened around us as I let the guilt drown me. Then I saw a flash of blonde hair peeking out from between Ruth and Stephen's legs. I met Ruth's eyes. "He didn't get her?" I asked. Ruth shook her head.
"I think Phoebe had left her in here for safety. She saved her life."
"What the fuck are y'all talking about?" Kai asked,
rocking on his feet. The brother was losing patience. Ruth turned to Styx.
"Phoebe made me promise her something should she not make it out of the commune when the time came to flee. She asked me to find her sister on the outside world. Her name is Rebecca."
Kai pushed out from the line.
"That's my wife, Rebecca. Lila, Phoebe's sister. She's my wife."
Ruth took in a breath, but instead of replying, she turned around. When she faced Kai again, she was holding the hand of the little girl Phoebe had saved.
"Phoebe was charged as guardian of this little girl."
Ruth winced.
"She was recently branded as a cursed sister of Eve."
I looked at Kai, but his gaze was fixed firmly on the little girl. Her headdress had gone, and her long blonde hair was flowing down her back, her blue doe eyes staring up at the VP.
"Fuck,"
Kai whispered and swallowed.
"She has no parents."
Ruth's face contorted in grief.
"Especially now."
She brought the young child closer to her leg, hugging her close.
"Phoebe wanted her sister to take her and give her a good life. She said she reminded her of her sister when she was young."
Kai was mute, and if I wasn't mistaken, his eyes had misted over. Ruth waited for Kai to speak, but he could only nod. Ruth ran her hand over Grace's blonde hair.
"Phoebe cared for her because she could not bear for her to be treated like her sister was. She kept her away from the men."
Ruth pointed to the child.
"Judah recently named her Delilah. Her cursed name was Delilah."
"What's her real name?"
His voice was cracked and low.
"Grace," I said.
"Phoebe told me her real name was Grace." Kai nodded and said,
"Then she fucking comes with us."
I caught the brothers all looking at one another, unsure what the hell was happening. It was too much. It was all too much. Styx cleared his throat, then began to sign, Kai translating as always.
"They come with us. We have trucks at the east point where we entered. And we need to get the fuck gone now."
Ruth lifted Grace into her arms, the timid little girl tucking her face into Ruth's neck. And we ran. We got the fuck away from the commune. In less than 20 minutes, we were en route back to the hangmen compound, with the commune left in the past. Along with my faith. Along with my dead brother. Along with my last act of redemption. Because I knew what came next for me. But it was welcomed. I'd killed my brother because it was just. Now, it was time to finish what had been started a long time ago. And that was just too.
Chapter 16. Ryder. Dusk had begun to fall as we approached the compound. I rode alongside my former brothers, feeling numb. Every time I thought of what had just happened, my mind would chase it away. I tried to think of the faces of the dead, but they were all just a blur. I tried to remember Judah's last breath, but my mind was blank. As we drew closer to the compound's gates, my hands began to shake. I tried to stop the trembling, but I couldn't. I could see Smiler watching me from his bike beside me. but I just couldn't stop the fucking shakes. The gates opened as we pulled up. My heart fucking burst when I saw the clubhouse door slam open and Bella run outside, May, Lila, and Maddie following behind. Beauty and Letty followed after them, looking exactly the same as the last time I had seen them. Bella's frantic eyes searched over the group. When her blue gaze landed on me, her hands covered her mouth. Tears fell down her cheeks as she ran to me. I made myself get off the bike to greet her. She stopped dead in front of me. "Ryder," she whispered, roving her shocked eyes over me. I glanced down at my body. I was covered in Judah's blood. I lifted my hand. It was bright red, the knuckles grazed of their skin. Bella reached forward and wrapped her arms around my waist. Her concerned face searched mine. I stared into her eyes, tears tracking down my cheeks. Bella's eyes closed and she took in a long, deep breath. When they opened again, she said,
"You did it. He is gone."
I nodded my head. There were no words. I could not speak. Bella molded her body against my own, ignoring the dried blood staining every inch of me. I wrapped my arms around her as tightly as I could. I needed her. I so desperately fucking needed her. I heard voices around us. I heard the brothers describing what happened. Mass suicide, poison, kids too. Ryder killed him. Bella tensed in my arms. Her lips trembled.
"Everyone is dead. The innocent. The children."
I squeezed my eyes shut and nodded my head. Bella stepped back from my embrace. I opened my eyes. Her eyes were swimming in sadness.
"Ruth, Stephen, Samson, Solomon, they are all dead."
"No," I managed to reply quickly, then turned toward the parked trucks. Hush opened the truck's door and Solomon and Samson stepped out. Before they could even take a step, Bella ran to them and wrapped her arms around each of them, crying in relief. They hugged her back, awkwardly. Bella withdrew as Brother Stephen slid from the back seat, and she greeted him in the same relieved way. My chest ached. She didn't even know she was embracing her father, a father who adored her. Brother Stephen's eyes closed as he pressed a kiss to her head. He stepped back, and his eyes scanned the crowd. Then he stilled. I followed the path of his gaze and saw May and Maddie watching Bella greet her friends. Stephen then turned away from Bella and moved his fingers to his eyes. I had a sudden image of myself doing the same thing to Bella in that motel room. Bella looked up at him, and I saw the moment she registered the change in his appearance. She took a step back, then another. She lifted her hand to her eyes.
"Your eyes,"
she whispered.
They are like mine."
Bella turned to May.
"They are like May's."
Stephen looked at the three sisters in turn, then said to Bella,
"I am your father, Bella. I am your father. And May's and Maddie's too."
"What?"
Bella whispered. His ice blue eyes shone with emotion.
"I was exiled to the Defectors' Commune because I tried to run away with you all when you were little."
He pointed at Maddie.
"Maddie was just a baby. You and May, toddlers."
Maddie watched Stephen, her arms wrapped around Flame's waist. Her green eyes were huge as she listened to Stephen's revelation. Styx had his arms slung around May's shoulder. May was listening, lips parted in disbelief.
"Why?"
Bella asked.
"Why did you not tell me? Why did you disguise your eyes from me? Hold back this truth."
Stephen sighed deeply.
"Because I did not want to cause you any more hurt. You had already been through so much. I always knew we would return to the commune to try and take it down. If I fell, I did not want you to mourn me. You deserved to be happy. I had failed you so many times before. I could not stop the pain you all went through at the hands of the Prophet. I was unworthy of being your father."
May began crying, turning her face into Styx's chest. Maddie was silent, looking as if she was deep in shock, but not Bella. Finding the strength she always managed to muster, Bella rushed forward and put her hands on Stephen's cheeks.
I would have mourned you if you had fallen regardless. You have been my family. You are my family."
"Bella," Stephen said softly and kissed Bella's cheek.
"You saved me,"
Bella whispered, throwing her arms around him.
"When I was brought to Puerto Rico, It was you who did not let me die. You healed me. You kept me hidden. You kept me safe.
She turned to May and Maddie, holding out her hand. May went to her immediately. Maddie didn't move at first, but then left the safety of her husband's arms and joined her sister's. Maddie's head was cast down in nerves, but May looked her father in the eyes. Stephen smiled at the daughters he had never met.
You are all so beautiful, he said. More beautiful than I had ever imagined.
May dipped her head, then, to my surprise, leapt forward and wrapped her arms around Stephen. Stephen's face looked shocked, then it melted into an expression of deep relief and love. May stepped back, wiping her eyes, and Stephen looked at Maddie. Bella put her arm around her younger sister's shoulders. Maddie fell into Bella's side, then shakily held out her hand to Stephen. Stephen smiled. He put his hand in hers and shook it.
Nice to meet you again, Maddie.
Maddie breathed deeply.
It is nice to meet you, too.
Her voice was barely audible, but I could see that didn't matter to her father. It momentarily chased the darkness from my heart. I saw movement from the back of the crowd. Lila was walking through slowly, her eyes on Stephen. She stopped beside her sisters.
Phoebe?
She asked. I could see by the devastated look on her scarred face that she knew her sister wasn't with us, that I hadn't saved her. Stephen dropped his head. When he looked up at her, he said,
You are Delilah. Rebecca?
Lila flinched at the mention of her original name, but she nodded. Kai moved to stand by his wife's side.
Phoebe helped us escape, Stephen said. She sacrificed so much to help us, and it was all in your honor. Your sister, she loves you very much. Everything she did was for you.
Lila released a strained sob.
I love her very much, too, she cried.
Kai held his wife closer. Stephen rocked on his feet.
She was taken by one of Judah's associates. I am sorry, but I do not know where he has taken her.
Lila cried harder into Kai's shoulder. Kai let her have a moment, then lifted her head with his finger under her chin.
Baby, he said tentatively. Phoebe asked you to do something for her. She needs you to help her.
I do not understand,
Lila replied.
Kai put his hands on her face. Just know that I'm here with you, right? You got this.
Fuck, babe. You were fucking born for this.
Lila gripped onto her husband's arms tighter. She opened her mouth to speak again, as Sister Ruth emerged from the back of Cowboy's truck. Ruth smiled at me nervously, then turned back toward the back seat. Kai pulled Lila forward toward the truck. Lila's steps were slow and nervous. Ruth lifted Grace from the back seat, and the blonde sister went still with shock. Ruth set the child on the floor and took hold of her hand. Ruth approached Lila, bringing the frightened, wide-eyed child with her. Grace stared at everyone watching her, but when her eyes found Lila's, the kid couldn't look away. Lila sucked in a breath and Kai held her tighter.
You are Phoebe's sister?
Ruth asked. Lila nodded her head.
Phoebe has been caring for this child.
Ruth chased the thickness from her throat and said,
Judah had recently proclaimed her a cursed sister of Eve.
No,
Lila whispered. Bella, May, and Maddie were watching on with sad, knowing expressions on their faces.
Judah was going to take her on her 8th birthday,
Ruth continued.
It is in 2 months' time.
So he did not... He never forced her to...
Lila trailed off, unable to finish the question.
No,
Ruth answered.
Your sister saved her. She locked her away to make sure she was safe. If she had not, Delilah would have died today, like all the other helpless young.
Lila had frozen still.
Delilah?
She whispered, devastation lacing her tone.
Yes,
Ruth replied.
Her branded cursed name is Delilah. Judah named her because she looks just like you.
A cry came from Lila's mouth. I cleared my throat and said, Grace. Lila faced me in confusion. I pointed at the kid, who already looked completely enamored with Phoebe's sister. Her name before my brother branded her was Grace. Phoebe only ever called her that. I pushed my hair back off my face. She wants you to take her, raise her as your own. She saved Grace so you could give her a better life, because she couldn't see another child hurt the way you were. I met Bella's watery eyes. The way you all were. Grace stepped forward and tugged on Lila's long cream dress. Lila looked down and Grace said nervously,
You are Aunt Phoebe's sister?
Lila's face contorted with grief, and with Kai's help, she bent down and met Grace face to face.
You have the same hair color as me,
she said innocently, and my heart almost fucking cracked down the center. Kai looked away, and I knew he was breaking, too. Lila smiled indulgently at the little girl.
I do.
Grace pointed at Lila's eyes.
And your eyes are the same, too.
Yes, Lila said in a husky voice.
They are blue.
Grace tipped her head to the side, and she blushed. She clasped her hands in front of her.
Aunt Phoebe said...
Grace looked up at Ruth for approval. Ruth nodded her head in encouragement. Grace stepped closer to Lila and said,
Aunt Phoebe said you ought to be my mama?
The little girl swallowed.
Are you? Is that true? Are you my mama? I never had a mama before.
Lila and Kai both turned their faces away for a moment, trying to control their tears. Then Lila smiled. She cried through her smile and nodded her head.
Yes, Grace. I will be your mama.
Grace's smile practically lit up the darkening sky. She tentatively moved closer to Lila, and Lila pulled her into a soft hug. Lila looked up at Kai, smiling so fucking big. She pulled back from the little girl and pointed at Kai.
Kai, my husband, he will be your papa, Grace. He will be your papa.
Kai's jaw clenched as Grace peered up at him. Hey, kid, Kai said gruffly. Grace smiled at him, and I heard Kai's breath hitch.
You look like me, too,
Grace said and pointed to her hair. Yeah, Kai rasped. The same hair and eyes, too, kid. Grace looked back to Lila.
Is Aunt Phoebe going to live with us, too?
Grace's question was like a bucket of ice-cold water over the happiness Lila had found. Stephen crouched down next to Grace.
Aunt Phoebe has had to go away for a while, Grace. She wanted you to get to know your new mama and papa first.
Grace nodded her head like that made perfect sense.
Do we have a house?
Grace asked Lila.
Aunt Phoebe said that you would have a home with a bed.
She paused, then said,
I have never slept in a real bed before, just on a mattress on the floor of the children's quarters. The prophet told me I would sleep with him very soon in his bed, a real bed, but that has not happened yet.
Lila flinched at Grace's words, and it took her several seconds to pull herself together. I pushed back vomit at the thought of what Judah had planned to do with the kid.
Yes,
Lila said breathlessly.
We have a home, with a room that I think has been waiting just for you.
Grace laughed in happiness, and Lila stood, looking over at her sisters with an overwhelmed expression on her face.
Come on, kid. We'll show you your new house.
Kai bent down and took Grace in his arms. Lila, Kai, and Grace walked away, Grace staring up at them in complete fascination. The other brothers began to filter into the clubhouse, and I didn't know what the fuck to do. Suddenly, Bella was at my side, looking completely stunned by everything.
Bella,
May called.
I will take Stephen and Ruth to my home to rest. Styx will give your other two friends rooms in the clubhouse.
May looked at me and smiled.
I am sure you wish to spend time with Ryder.
Styx met my eyes with a meaningful glare. I understood his message, a message that wouldn't be spoken aloud. Then he lifted his hands and signed at me. I nodded, then reached down for Bella's hand.
What did he say?
She asked. I forced a smile. That I can clean up in his old room in the clubhouse. Bella's smile almost broke my heart.
He is trusting you again?
She asked hopefully. I shrugged. Don't know. Bella's palm met my cheek.
Come. You need rest. You need to bathe.
I let Bella pull me toward the clubhouse, then I took her to Styx's old room. It looked exactly the same as it always had. Bella closed the door behind us, locking us away from everything outside, and stood in front of me. I didn't know what to say. My mind had clogged into a thick fog. My eyes burned from too many tears. And I was tired. So fucking tired. Without speaking, Bella began shedding my clothes from me. I let her. My arms hung limply at my sides as she rid me of my jacket and shirt.
All the time she undressed me, I watched her stunning face, and a glimmer of hope pierced the numbness in my heart, because now she would be free.